Good morning, and you're listening to the Life Changing Experience broadcast with Pastor Ralph E. Caraway Sr. and the St. Louis Baptist Church in Tyler, Texas. Join us as Pastor Caraway boldly shares the Word of God by providing life application of biblical truths. Listen and be blessed.
In Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. This is Jesus' final night with his disciples. Before he was getting ready to go through the agonizing process of going to the cross. In verse 31 of chapter 22. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith faileth not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brothers. Just for a little while, we're going to talk from the thought, somebody prayed for me. Somebody prayed for me. While preparing this week for this message, I heard an old song by a lady by the name of Dorothy Norwood. And the song was, Somebody Pray For Me. Had me on their mind. Took the time and prayed for me. I'm so glad they prayed. I'm so glad they prayed. I'm so glad they prayed for me. In the song, she started listing people. She said, the preacher prayed for me. She said, my mama prayed for me. And then she finally summed it up and she said, somebody prayed for me. Sometime in our life, God allows a sifting process. This morning, as we look at this sifting process that God allowed Peter to go through. And the reason why, because God wanted to mold Peter into more of a Christ-like behavior. God uses trials and circumstances sometime in our lives that we don't understand the who's and the why's of. But the reason why God is doing it, because we are in molding process. And what I mean by molding process, none of us right now are all we're going to become. We're still in the molding process. You remember when the Lord told Jeremiah, he said, go down to the potter's house. And he said, I'm going to show you a work on the wheel. And if you remember the passage of scripture, Jeremiah said when he was looking at the clay, it got marred in the potter's hand. And it says, but the potter didn't throw it away, but he made another vessel. I need to tell us that sometimes we get marred in the master's hand. But how many of y'all like me, you glad somebody prayed for you and he didn't throw you away? But he kept on working with you. Romans 8 and 28 says, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God and those that are called according to God's purpose. But now he said all things are good. He didn't say everything that happened to us is good, but sometimes the things that happen to us are part of our molding process. I read a little story about a man, and every time that something happened, he would always sum it up with, it's good. Everything that happened, he didn't care what happened, he would say, it's good. Well, he went on a hunting expedition with his king, and his job was loading the guns for the king. And one day while loading one of the guns for the king, he loaded it wrong. And when the king shot the gun, it blew his thumb off. And the man said, it's good. And the king got upset and said, how in the world can you say it's good? I just got my thumb blowed off. And the man said, it's good. So what the king did, he had the man put in jail. And for a while, the king didn't go hunting, and then eventually, after he'd gotten over his trauma, he decided that he would go hunting again. The king was out hunting somewhere way in an undiscovered place, and he ran across, while he was hunting, he ran across some cannibals. And the cannibals caught the king, tied him up against a tree, took him and was getting ready to cook him for their lunch. The cannibals, being superstitious, as they looked at the king, they noticed that his thumb was shot off. And as a result of his thumb being shot off, the cannibals decided they didn't want to eat him because his whole body wasn't whole. The king thought about the man that said, "It's good." Went back and got him out of prison. He said, "I want to apologize. I'm sorry that I had you put in prison all this time." And the man said, "Oh, it's still good." And the king said, "How in the world can you say it's good? I've had you in prison for years. How in the world can you say it's good?" The man said, "It's good because had I been with you, I'm whole. They would have ate me. It's good." Are y'all following me? Sometime at the time, we don't think it's good, but when you know who God is, it's still good. We too, as Peter, find ourselves going through different parts of life, not understanding what God is up to. But God knows what's necessary in the process of our life to get us to where we need to be. In this chapter 22 of Luke, we have Jesus on the final night with his disciples. He knows what he's going to be up against, but he also knows what they're going to be up against. I need to share with everybody in this room right now. You are never going to be up against anything that the Lord doesn't already know. Right now, whether you believe it or not, in this time of just peace and understanding, somebody somewhere is praying for you. Because they understand when you are a believer, there are going to be times that trials and temptation are going to come your way. Satan is going to have an assault of attack up on you. But it's because somebody is praying for you. It's going to get you through the rough time and get you into the presence of Almighty God. Peter here. In this text, the Lord says, "Simon, Simon. Peter, Peter." Notice what he said. "Satan had desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." There are two stages to sifting. One step to sifting is tossing the wheat into the air and allowing the chaff to blow away. The second stage is a little bit more crushing. What it does, it crushes the wheat and it separates what's valuable from what's non-valuable. You see, the reason why a lot of us don't want to be sifted because we've already determined what's valuable and what's non-valuable. And the reason why God has to sift us, some of the junk we call valuable, he calls invaluable. Some of the stuff we say we need, he say, "I don't have any use for." And so a lot of times we don't understand the sifting process that comes in our life. The sifting process. When he says, "Simon, Simon," you can hear the urgency in the tone. He says, "I'm warning you. I'm warning you because sometimes as Christians, we can think we're invincible. We don't even think we're vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy." But I need to tell some of you this morning, it's not because you've been so strong all the time. Sometimes it's because somebody prayed for you. Sometimes you don't understand. When you're in your weak moment, in your moment when you were about to give in, you say, "I came to myself." And really what happened, the prayer that somebody was praying called up to you. Called up to where you were and gave you the strength that you need. If we were looking at this, first of all, notice, listen to the warning. The warning he says here, Satan desires to have you. Now in the text, it says to have you. The "you" in here is in a plural state in the Greek. Because what the Lord was saying, he said not only Peter, but Satan really desired to have all of the disciples. That includes us. Satan desires to have everybody that believes in Jesus Christ. Oh yeah, he desires that. He desires to have us. Notice what it says, to sift us. In other words, what Satan desires is to separate us from the relationship that we have in Christ Jesus. Because Satan says, if I can separate you from Jesus, I can get any and everything that I want out of you. You remember the story, the biblical account of Job. The Bible says that it was the day when the sons of God went to worship the Lord. And Satan showed up in the midst. Now, listen, he came in here this morning. He didn't announce that he was here, but he's here right now. Satan never comes to a church and say, hey, good morning, I'm here, I'm Satan, I'm here. Now, what he does, he works through us. He never makes an announcement that he's there. But anytime you come to worship, Satan also shows up. He shows up and try to keep your mind preoccupied with the stuff that's going on. Are y'all with me? If you keep stuff on your mind while you're in worship, ain't no need you keeping stuff on your mind. Stuff will be there after worship. But if you come in and worship God, he'll show you how to deal with your stuff. He says Satan desires. This word desire in the text means that he had asked for permission. You remember when Job, when Satan told the Lord, he said, if you will let me have that Job, I will make him curse you to your face. This word desire means that Satan can only come after us after he gets the permission from Jesus. Oh, some of y'all ain't getting it. Peter writes this later on in 1 Peter. He says, don't think it's strange when the fiery darts to come try you as something that's weird or strange. It's a part of what you have been called to do. The old saints used to say it like this here, no suffering, no cross. A lot of us want the cross, but we don't want no suffering. So he said he has asked. This word desire, he has asked. To have you. Notice that the purpose that he wanted to have. He said that he may sift you as wheat. Satan is always trying to separate anything good about us, try to separate us from the love of Christ. Let me show you quickly how Satan tried to separate us. Satan tried to separate us from the love of Christ and try to separate us real particularly on Sunday morning. Have you ever noticed Sunday morning is different from any other morning? Have you noticed you can get up early and go to work Monday through Thursday, Monday through Friday? You getting up at 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning, I got to go to work. But on Sunday morning, it seemed as though the covers feel different, the pillows feel different, the bed feel different, and the sleep is better than it ever been. And you can't hardly come out of it because Satan is trying to shift. Trying to separate you from God. Even to the point Satan tries to satisfy you and justify you. Just turn on the television. You can have church right here. Just read your scripture and you and God can have a good time. But Hebrews 10:25 says, forsake not to assemble ourselves together. We come together to exhort, to encourage, to build one another up. But on Sunday morning, there is a sifting process. There is a sifting process that the enemy is always trying to keep you from coming into the presence of the Lord. But I got to tell you this morning, somebody prayed for me, had me on their mind, took the time and prayed for me. But notice here, he said he desires that he may sift thee as wheat. In other words, Satan is constantly coming, trying to separate us from the goodness of the Lord. This sifting process that he's talking about, he wanted to shake Peter and the disciples up. The sifting that he's talking about in here is a part of the test that we go through as Christians. See, a lot of us don't want to be tested, but in order to get a testimony, you have to be tested. Y'all need to pray with me this morning. All of the products that we use from time to time, whether it's iron or whether it's a car, had to go through a series of tests before it could get approval saying that it was ready for customer consumption. And a lot of time, as Christians, we want to get the seal without going through the test. God said, I'm going to test you and try you to see if I can put my stamp of approval on you. The problem with the church in the world today is you want the stamp of the local church, but you don't want the stamp of the universal church. And that is the stamp of Jesus himself. And a whole lot of these church stamps that we have are not authentic, they're artificial. You got to have the stamp that came down out of heaven. And sooner or later, whether you like it or not, you're going to be tested and tried. Here's a part of the testing. The reason why the Lord see to it that we get tested to see if we genuine. I need to hang there for a minute. Because we live in a time now when you can get fake everything. You can get fake everything. I can lay down tonight with brown eyes and get up in the morning and put in some blue. You can lay down tonight with no hair and get up in the morning and have dreadlocks. We live in a time now when fakeness is so close to being the real thing that folk embrace it more than they do the real thing. All the acting is not going on Hollywood. It's some acting going on Sunday mornings. It's got some folk can give you an Academy Award. If you listen to them, you'll think they really know Jesus. But let me tell y'all something. God is not worried about your acting. He's worried about your action. And your action is when you have confessed him and made him Lord and Savior of your life, everything about you changed. 2 Corinthians says, if any man be in Christ. See, I'm making some of y'all mad right now because you say, I got my Bible with my name. I don't give a good goodbye if you've got all that. Because if you have not accepted, y'all thought I was going to say something ugly. Oh, no. I'm saved. I wasn't about to say nothing ugly. If you have been born again, if you've been born again, there is something different about you. And because you've been born again, Satan has to test that. Satan know when you used to get upset, the first thing you do, you didn't turn to the psalm, you turn to the room. I'm trying to say something. Satan used to know when you got upset, you didn't turn to psalms, you turned to room to try to run over your problem. But when God saved you and trouble come, you turn to the psalm. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. And when you don't have the Lord in your life, you're trying to get Jack Daniel in ice. You've got to learn how to go to the Lord. Satan desires to sift you. And the whole purpose of this, was to disgrace God through his disciples. Satan here was trying to bring such an impact upon them that it would disgrace them. And I'm going to tell you, my brother and my sister, Satan has not stopped trying to disgrace God's disciples. He has not stopped trying to disgrace God through his disciples. But I'm so glad somebody prayed for me, had me on their mind, took the time and prayed for me. I get excited when I read this text. Because instead of what the Lord said, Simon, Simon, I begin to talk to myself. I heard the Lord say, Ralph, Ralph. He said, Satan desires to have you that he might sift you like wheat. And some of y'all looking at me funny, but I'm going to tell you, if you put your name in there, you will understand it a little bit better. Because if the truth be told, all of us know that the enemy on a regular basis is always trying to attack you, trying to get you to disgrace God. You could be driving your car and somebody pull out in front of you, and the enemy try to get you to disgrace God with your sign language. But you got to hold on to God's unchanging hand. The Bible says here, Ralph, Ralph, Satan desired to sift you. But I'm so glad it didn't stop right there, because in the next verse we have a conjunction, and that conjunction is but. And I learned a little bit in school of conjunctions, joined one verse to the next verse. But Jesus said, I have prayed for thee. And I don't know about you, but I'm so glad Jesus said, I've prayed for you. In other words, I know what you're going to be up against. I know how the enemy is going to have a relentless attack on you. But he said, but Peter, I prayed for you. And notice what he prayed for Peter. He said, I prayed that your faith faileth not. Faith is that unmovable belief in God, that God can do above what I ask to think. Faith in God is when temptation comes, he'll give me a way of escape. Faith is I don't understand how he's going to do it. I just believe he's going to do it. Faith is knowing that God can do everything but fail. Faith is knowing that God can take a crackhead and turn him into a preacher. faith is knowing that God can take a wine, though, and make him a mighty voice for God. Faith is knowing that God can do the unusual. God can do above what you expect. Can I get a witness? So Jesus said, Peter, I prayed for you that your faith don't fail you. Because when your faith fails you, you're in trouble. Can I get a witness? Somebody said, all I need is a little more faith. But I stopped by to tell you, Jesus said, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be thou moved and cast into the sea. But I'm so glad somebody prayed for me, had me on their mind. He said, Peter, I prayed for you. I need to talk to somebody. Is there anybody here? Has your faith ever failed you? Come on, be real with me. Has your faith ever failed you? Can I get somebody? You got a little bit of God. You got a little doubt in your mind. You got a little fear in your mind. But God sent somebody by to tell you, I've been praying for you, and I came by to tell you that it's going to be all right. I don't know how, and I don't know when, but I just believe God didn't bring us this far to leave us by ourselves. Look at somebody and tell them, somebody prayed for me. Sometimes I don't even know who it was, but I believe somebody prayed for me. When the devil had me on drugs, I believe somebody prayed for me. When he told me I wouldn't come out, I believe somebody prayed for me. Can I get somebody? Jesus told Peter, he said, I prayed for you that your faith don't fail you. Can I get somebody? Somebody here this morning, faith ain't what it used to be. But I stopped by to tell you, as I'm preaching right now, I'm praying for you that your faith don't fail you. I'm praying for you that you'll hold on to God's unchanging hand. Can I get a witness? I need to talk to somebody that will tell me the truth. Say, Pastor, I understand how Peter got weak in the faith. Pastor, I understand how Peter felt. But I'm so glad somebody prayed for me, had me on their mind, took the time and prayed for me. I got to go to my seat. But Jesus, he told Peter, he said, Peter, when you've been converted, stricken your brothers. I had to read that again. He said, when you've been converted, in other words, the conversion that he's talking about in this text is not being converted under salvation, because Peter was already saved. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about being converted to understand you're not above reproach. See, some folks in the church think you're so strong that won't nothing knock you off your feet. You think you're so strong that you can handle any situation. But I stopped by to tell you, some of the stuff you have, it wasn't because you were so strong. It wasn't because you were so tough. Somebody prayed for you. Somebody prayed, and God sent the angel to make a way out of no way. Can I get a witness? I need some witnesses in here that'll say, somebody prayed for me. I am what I am because somebody prayed for me. Sometimes in the sifting process, and we got stuff going on, he's separating what's valuable and what's not valuable. Let me lay this one on you. Some of the stuff you think is valuable to God is rubbish. You think your title is valuable? You seek self-recognition You want somebody to know you done it? That's valuable to you. That ain't valuable to God. Some people want to take self-accomplishment. Look at what I've done. Just look at, you see all this? You see all this here? I did. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the rich fool in Luke. He said, I looked at all my crops and I said, I know what I'll do. I'll be a bigger bones. And I'll put all my stuff in there. And then I'll say to myself, I have much laid up for many years. I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says, but that night. See, you know, when you look at that parable, what was left out of it was Jesus. The conclusion of Luke 22. When the Lord gave the warning to Peter and his disciples, he said, fellas, I prayed for you. And if you read the rest of it, Peter jumped up and said, Lord, I'll go to prison for you. I'll even die for you. And the Lord says to Peter, before the cock can crow three times, you're going to deny me. That's what the Lord said. I want y'all to hear me real good. Some of the stuff that you've missed and some of the stuff that you've had to go through, it was a sifting process. So God can get to what matters. Let me tell y'all something about God. None of us never get so far after 20 years of preaching. There are times when I find myself in the sifter. And here's the reason why. When I allow things in my life to become more important than God, he says it's time to be sifted. So sometimes things come up. Thank you, Lord. See, this society has messed us up. Because most of the time when we get in trouble, we try to Google everything. God can put some stuff in your life, you can't even Google it. You had folks up there, they say, hold on a minute, let me Google it. God will put some stuff in your life. When you try to Google it, they say, no results found. No results found. And the reason why is I got to deal with you. I thank God for the somebodies in my life that prayed for me. I thank God. I thank God. My parents that prayed for me. Lord have mercy, I was a rebellious child. But they kept on praying for me. It doesn't matter to God what you've been or even what you are right now. That doesn't matter to God. It doesn't matter. And God says, here's the reason why. When I sift, I get rid of everything that adds no value. When you find yourself going through trials, troubles, stop thinking maybe God is angry with me. And start thinking maybe he's just sifting me. He's getting rid of stuff that's going to stop me from glorifying him. He's getting rid of stuff that's going to stop me from praising and worshiping. Keep it low. Keep it low. He's getting me away from stuff that has nothing to do with him. Peter's not the only somebody been sifted. How many of y'all been sifted? Been sifted. But the sifting is for a purpose. And that purpose is to more make us more Christ-like. I want to tell every believer here this morning, keep praying for somebody. Because somebody prayed for you.
Pastor Caraway and the St. Louis Church family invite you to worship with us on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. We're located at 4000 Frankston Highway in Tyler, Texas. We pray that this message has been a blessing and that you will allow the Word of God to challenge, change, and lead you to a life-changing experience in Christ.